Record here. There we go. Welcome, everyone. I am starting here for John and Dipna because we're having some technical difficulties, as you can probably see. But we are on now and ready to go. So good afternoon. It's evening here in the U.S. It's real late on the East Coast. I think it's 10 p.m., 7 p.m. here in California, and 12 o'clock for you. We're excited to do two things tonight. Well, actually three things. We've got some updates on the U.S. market. We've got an update on the Shasta Wine Village that's really exciting. And then we're going to be presenting to you Orlando, Florida, and talking about why this is a really super hot market right now. And it really has a lot to do with the foreclosure laws in that state that have given us an opportunity to take advantage of some deeply discounted properties there. But first, let's get started on the Shasta Wine Village update, because I know there's a lot of people who have already invested in this or on the fence and just needed a little bit more information. So we have the developer here with us, Marcus Parton. Welcome. And
hi, Kathy.
Hi there. So we'll just kind of do a brief overview of the project for those who are new to it, and then you can tell us about the exciting updates. And then if anybody wants more information, just reach out to us at info@realwealthnetwork.com, and we'll send you to the full webinar that's a good hour long, and we only have a few minutes today to go over it. So let's see if I can, yeah, there we go. So let's do a little brief overview of that project for those who are new to it.
Just very quickly, this has been 3.5 years in the entitlement process. It's a commercial project for 35,600 square feet in four buildings right along Interstate 5. That's the main interstate that goes all the way from Mexico up to Canada, a major transportation corridor in the western United States. And it's at a highly visible point on the interchange location. Location's just north of the city limits of Redding, about 3.5 miles. That's a 90,000 population base. And 4 miles south of Lake Shasta. Lake Shasta is the largest lake in California, 365 shore miles. So the area's already got its market that we've done our research geared in to utilize this concept with 15 to 17 tasting rooms, because there's 3 million tourists that come to the area annually already, because it's at the end of the San Joaquin Valley for the rivers, lakes, etc. 3,000 hotel rooms in the area, 250 area restaurants, and Redding itself has its own draws as a medical, retail, and business hub for the region. So that's just a quick overview before the update. Go ahead, Kathy.
Sorry about that. I was muted.
Probably the major announcement that is, sure, that one of the major items that has taken place and just got announced last week. We followed a subdivision in planning since we originally acquired the combined properties in 2006. You can see where we're located, right at that interchange there, and that loop road goes around and into the city of Redding's next major commercial area. But that new subdivision called Mountain Gate Subdivision, it's planned for 1,604 housing units. And the announcement that was made last week is it's under its full environmental review and public hearings that start off June 5th and are available for public comment now. That means it's coming online. And so after all those years of planning for the development, it's coming on. It will be the largest subdivision of its type before you get up into Oregon, because really we are at the very end of the valley before you get into the mountainous area at the end of the San Joaquin Valley. So big announcement for a quality subdivision right across from our site there at Redding Reserve 1, where the Shasta Wine Village is going in.
So this really truly is right in the path of progress here. And just below is a new Costco going in. And for those of you who aren't familiar, Costco's a huge, huge store, big box store. And they do at least 10 years of planning for where they're going to put their stores. So we like to follow where Costco goes, because we don't have the amount of money and planning people that, you know, that they, that Costco has. So we follow them. We know that they've done their homework and we're very excited just south of this. And there might be a slide on that. Yep. There it is. All right. Tell us about Costco.
Well, back up and don't go back in the slides, but the subdivision, you know, if you look at build up, that could be $750 million of development right across the street from us. So as you can see, 3.5 miles down to the south, there's this area called, it says Oasis there on the map, and that's where Costco is going, but a lot more than that. That area has been planned for over 10 years for the next commercial development in the city of Redding, and it goes right along the interstate, but it's planned for eventually 3.3 million square feet of commercial, or 20 Costco stores, and over 2,000 residential units, all within a mile of that interchange. What's interesting is you can see up by the Star, which is the location of the Shasta Wine Village site, there's a major arterial that winds around and reconnects at that freeway interchange. So we not only have Costco, but there's a number of improvements in that area that have been made possible and required before Costco could go in. Those were freeway improvements, major arterial and bridge replacements, etc., allowing that to go in. And the announcement is for construction this summer and opening in 2015. So it's 148,000 square feet with complete with 16 gas pumps. And what we've seen where Costco very goes, exciting. Others follow.
And more good news.
Of our four buildings we have, one building is a retail building. And that retail space is open later at night. We had a retail announcement taking up the balance of that building, which is Enjoy the Store. Enjoy the Store specializes in local regional products. This will be their third location in the region, but they're excited about it because they have a magazine that goes along with it, and they use it in different market areas to build brands. In this market, olive oils are famous, and nuts and other things like that. They do a tremendous business, and they're excited about taking the balance of that building. So that was a great announcement as well.
All right. Let's see what.
A couple of other quick things in the as far as final announcements or things that are trending in the industry. You know, two things have been kind of prominent. Social media has taken a big role in the marketing of wines and wineries. In fact, they direct sales hit another record this year at $1.57 billion. But social media, the ability for wineries to market, is limited now by alcohol control. The other thing that we're seeing, especially in areas like Lodi, which produces more wine than any other region in the state of California, and one of those that was defined as one of our key tenant bases, they are restricting events that can happen at wineries because of the conflict of having areas far outside the control areas and rural areas. People want to get married, they want to have functions at these wineries, but they can't. It's one of the reasons we spent the last year getting our event center, a 65,000 square foot private secured event center located at the Shasta Wine Village. So all exciting news, and goes along with what's happening in the industry.
Wonderful. Okay, well, if anybody wants more information on the Shasta Wine Village, just reach out. info@realwealthnetwork.com, or you can send it to me directly, Kathy, K-A-T-H-Y, @realwealthnetwork.com. This is a syndication. It's a group investment. The minimum investment is $100,000, but people are doing half shares at $50,000 or even quarter shares at $25,000. And there's only 6 shares left to get to our minimum. So a lot of people looking at that. And if you've been on the fence, you might want to contact us right away, because they'll probably go quite quickly with all of this new exciting news.
Great. Thanks so much, Kathy.
All right. Thanks, Marcus. Okay. Now I've got to figure out how to get to the Orlando. I think I've got it. Here we go. All right. So moving on, show my screen here. We have been talking for a while about, certainly market cycles and where we are in these market cycles. And Florida is one of those places that just has not totally bounced back yet. South Florida has. And a lot of the hedge funds have come in and bought up properties. But because of the judicial laws in that state, it's taken years, three, four, five, even more years than that to foreclose. So there's a huge backlog in a very short period of time where there's an opportunity to buy in Florida. So with that, I think we have Al here. Are you there?
Yep, I'm here.
Okay, well, this might be the old PowerPoint. I think I had trouble opening up the new one unless you have it. And if you do, we can switch over to you.
Let's just roll with this one. And, okay. You know.
All right. Well, here we go then. So Al is from Florida, and as is, of course, Larry, and Larry's the Tampa expert. This is a disclaimer to, you know, always do your own due diligence, talk to your own professionals, but you all know that. Oh, we'll just move off of that. So, so Al, let's kind of hand it over to you and tell us a little bit about your team and what's going on over there.
All right. Well, thank you, Kathy. Our team is based just north of Orlando itself in a place called Winter Park. We cover Greater Metro Orlando, Greater Metro Tampa, and we've basically, you know, Gene, who is on my left in this picture, has been licensed in the area since 1979, and I've been living in the area since 84 and doing real estate since 2003, so over 10 years now in this area. Just focused on the investment side of things. That's kind of where we have both been specializing before we even worked together. We have a lot of recognition as top producers in the state and, you know, lots of experience behind us. So we can switch to the next screen. And for today, what we're going to be talking about, which is why everybody's watching this program, is the cash flow and appreciation. That's something that's kind of unique to the Florida market, where we still do have some room for appreciation because we haven't fully recovered yet. We're going to be talking about the strength of the rental market, which is where your cash flow comes from. We're going to talk about how buying today and paying attention to the cost per square foot can not only indicate future value, but kind of indicate how much money you're saving on buying this property versus building a new property today. We can look at the renovation. There are some properties that we sell that are turnkey, and then some, our model's a little bit different from a lot of the other folks, where we do sell properties that may need some renovation, and we have the crews and the contractors and the property managers to handle all of that for you. Next one is turnkey properties, and some of them are already rented. Some of these properties you can buy and start earning cash flow on them immediately. We basically, over that broad area, we search all these areas and we go where the deals are. Then the next criteria are neighborhoods and areas that we feel comfortable with, as far as, you know, if somebody owns a property that is overseas, out of state, whatever the case may be, our entire niche is out of state and overseas buyers. So we very much cater to that, you know, type of buyer. We do have some programs where there may be financing available for some Australian buyers, so we can talk to you, you know, basically contact us and we can help you put you together with the team that can do that as well. And, you know, in the next slide, please. We basically cover Orlando and Tampa, and we do our best to put you in the best properties we can. Our territory is pretty much the whole center of the state. If you can see from St. Petersburg on the east, the western coast in Clearwater, we cover all the way up to Deltona, Sanford, Kissimmee is where we do a lot of business right now, and we're kind of slowly, tentatively extending into the Daytona area and the Cocoa area as we solidify our team in those areas. We don't really put properties out in certain areas unless we have the team to back it up. Next slide, please. This is a little more detailed view. You can see that, you know, some of the major areas that we cover, starting from the western side, is St. Petersburg. We do a number of properties in Brandon. There's an area right next to Brandon called Riverview. Lots of nice properties in there. We'll get into the properties a little further in this program. Then in Orlando, there's lots of little pockets. Oh, sorry, if we could go back one. In Orlando, there's lots of little pockets where we select properties based on the way Orlando grew. And the way Orlando grew is not everybody is tied to the central hub of Orlando. There are city centers all over the place, and there are places where, like Deltona, if you follow I-4 and go kind of halfway between Daytona Beach and Orlando, you'll see Deltona. Now, that's 30 minutes from Daytona Beach and 30 minutes from Orlando, but thanks. But where the virtue in that area is in the Sanford and Lake Mary areas, very close in proximity to it. There are a ton of job sources, economic drivers in Sanford in the blue-collar level, which is more of a worker, industrial kind of level. There's lots of big box stores, a huge shopping mall in Sanford. And then Lake Mary, which is just immediately south of that, we have a lot of white-collar, which is more executives-level work. It's a very high-end area right there. So it's just kind of like one little center right there that makes Deltona work really well for our rentals. And you'll notice that there's several pockets throughout the whole middle of the state that work that way. Next slide, please. So why we have all these properties for sale where they can actually still cash flow is so many people are underwater, and that feeds the foreclosures that keep coming onto the market. There are tons and tons of people that still owe more on their homes than they're worth right now. There are tons of people that are, unfortunately, in America, one illness or one job loss away from losing their home. And this gets stretched out over so long a period of time because the foreclosure process can take years in this state. Other markets where it's a much shorter process, 60 to 90 days, all of those properties flooded the market. All the foreclosures flooded the market, and the prices got shot up really quickly with all the investors, but we are having a slow trickle, and we're getting to see lots of cash flow because of it. Next slide, please. Now, there's negative equity that's fueling a lot of this, with people that are underwater. At a time, 1 in 7 homeowners owed more than twice their homes are worth. We're actually recovering from that point now, but as you'll see in our properties, there's still a number of cash flow properties that you can get where you're buying at a price where it makes good cash flow, I mean cash flow worthy of buying property all the way over in Florida from where you are. Next slide, please. So foreclosure filings, this is a big driver in the market. You'll see on the national average it's about 10% of households that see a foreclosure filing. When you look just at Florida, it's almost a third, and Orange County is about a quarter of each house. So 1 in every 4 houses has had a foreclosure filing. You see more and more that this is what's going to be one of the big drivers of properties coming onto the market, but slowly enough to maintain our window of openings for cash flow. Next slide, please. And single-family rentals are what we specialize in. We do some duplexes and fourplexes that have great cash flow, but we cater to private investors, and they've accounted for a quarter of all the home sales in the last few years. About half of rental units are single-family homes. A lot of people think of, you know, people investing in properties and apartment buildings comes to mind. But half of the rental units in the U.S. are single-family homes. So many of these houses were built in the real estate boom by owner-occupants. Ultimately, a lot of them got foreclosed and put a lot of inventory. Some of them newer houses, built in 2004, built in 2006, in front of us as foreclosures to buy at a good rate. Next slide, please. Some more insight onto single-family rentals. They tend to draw a more stable renter. So, you know, single-family home renters put more value on the schools, the safety, and the community than apartment dwellers. They seem to be a little slightly more long-term than apartment dwellers. They're a little bit older and a little bit more affluent. 60% of the single-family renters are planning on being homeowners, while 40% are what we call the serial renters. They're going to keep renting, and they're happy renting, and that fits their lifestyle. And, you know, they may rent in a property for many years. We've sold a couple of fourplex properties where the property was built in 1984, and some of the tenants that were in there were actually there, moved in right after the property was built, and they are still there. And they sold that property to one of our buyers in the last few weeks, actually Real Wealth Network buyers, so that's great. Investors who took the plunge in the single family market, this is kind of changing right now, but there's generally about 10% of the price of the house that is estimated for repairs, but we're doing a lot more turnkey properties now and leaning a lot more towards securing properties that have lower repairs. So that's been one of the changes that's been taking place. We can go into that in detail later. Next, please. So what to expect in the next few years? Based on the trajectory we've been on, any property that we buy, we want to see cash flow, you know, immediately or as soon as possible. So we buy based on the numbers showing that we would have cash flow at the rent rate that it can rent at. So the properties that we wind up sending to our investors, the rents are actually provided by our property management team. So there's kind of a system of checks and balances there. If it doesn't work out for the property manager, it doesn't work out for us to send to our buyers, because they ultimately are responsible for the rents that they put on the sheets and that you will be expecting when you buy that property. In the longer term, and what we've seen over the last 2 or 3 years is, you know, 18 to 20% appreciation annually. So that's been strong as well. So there's lots of upside and growth in this, and you'll see on the next slides where we are market-wise as far as the recovery. Next slide, please. A lot of people look at Florida and they see people moving down to this area and they immediately have Mickey Mouse, visions of Mickey Mouse dancing around as the main reason people are moving down here. But it's not so. I think there's so many other reasons. We have back in the late 70s, early 80s, when a lot of the Disney World things were coming online, air conditioning. It sounds strange, but air conditioning became viable in most homes, so it made the boom in housing down in Florida start in a big scale back then, because it was viable for people to move from up north down to Florida. Gene likes to call us cheap and cheerful down here, because things are generally cheap. There's no income tax, no state income tax, and you know the cost of housing and all those things are very inexpensive. So cheap and cheerful. And people are moving from colder climates. People are moving from areas that have declining, you know, industrial bases, and they're moving down to our area because this travel infrastructure that is could, you know, around here because of Disney and because of so many of the, well, because of the great travel infrastructure we have, we've attracted a lot of businesses, industrial, executive, etc. The travel industry has kind of made it very easy for companies to relocate down here, and the state government has made it very, you know, fruitful for them to move down here as well. Next slide, please. And we are in the eye of the storm. America as a whole is on sale, and again, this is one of the big reasons that everybody's on this webinar right now. We're facing the steepest price correction since 1929. We've had about a 70% drop, and there has to be an equal recovery. But again, in Florida, it's taking longer than normal because things are spaced out, because we have a system where, you know, they have to go through the foreclosure process and these properties keep trickling onto the market. Then the other side of things is mortgage rates, which we will have some opportunity to discuss financing for Australians, you know, is in the 5% range. And, you know, everybody remembers in the 80s when these rates were 18%, much higher. So lots of good opportunities to use leverage as well. Next slide, please. So, like I said, we're still in a foreclosure market, and while the negative equity rate is improving, there's still a lot of people with negative equity. There's still a lot of people that owe more than what their houses are worth. It's two times worth. There's a lot of people that are owing more than twice what their houses are worth, and that is just a recipe for more foreclosures to come on the market, unfortunately, and fortunately for us. Next slide, please. So again, why Central Florida? It's what we do is we follow a lot of the pockets around because we cover such a big area. and we find the areas where the cash flow is best, and we feel confident that it will be a good, safe, clean area for a foreign investor to be owning in. So down below are some of the cities that we typically hit: Deltona, Daytona Beach we're getting into, Davenport, Castleberry is where I live, Winter Park is where Gene lives. You know, these are all areas that we search frequently to find cash flow properties. Our sources tend to be, some of them are on the multiple listing service, but you know, we see opportunity that other people don't in a lot of cases. We do have a lot of rehabbers that fix houses up and give them to us to sell before putting them out on the open market. We do get a lot of properties directly from probate attorneys, divorce attorneys, foreclosure attorneys, and things of that sort, because they know that we have the resources to sell these properties quickly to well-deserving buyers. One big number to look at is that the median sales price for a house today, non-distressed, if you were an owner-occupant looking for a house in the area, the average house price you'd be looking at would be $180,000. Now, for the foreclosure home, you're looking at $116,000 to $125,000 as the average price. You know, these are the same houses, but with distressed sales, you're actually finding a huge discount that in some cases you may not have been privy to if you're only buying houses that are completely fixed up. Next slide, please. So, again, this is part of how we track and follow the deals, but we look at the foreclosure heat map. And sometimes you never know if it's cause or effect, but you'll find that if there's 10 properties we do in Deltona over a three-month period of time, then you look back and say, okay, something happened in the judicial system in that county, Volusia County, and you know, we found an opening to a number of deals that coincidentally that same month. So it's hard to tell if it's cause or effect sometime, but we wind up being in the hotter spots as far as the number of foreclosures per household. Next slide, please. And just a quick overview of what we do before we start getting into the properties and areas. We do locate these properties for you. We help you get them under contract. We, in your due diligence period, before your deposit is at risk, we get an inspection for you and a repair estimate. So the inspection goes over all the systems. The guy crawls around the house for 3 hours. Then he finds, you know, certain things may be good, bad, or ugly. Then we get a repair estimate, and that's actually from a property manager. If the house does need repairs, remember, there are some turnkey, but if the house does need repairs, the property manager will gauge those repairs and cost those repairs from a perspective of not only what's needed to be repaired, but also what would make good sense as far as you marketing the house for rental. So, for instance, if a house has blue shag carpeting, any good property manager will know that this may cost you an extra month or two because you're competing against houses with nice neutral carpeting. So he would suggest to you to change the carpet and give you the cost for it. So before your earnest money deposit is at risk, you would have a cost of what it costs to get the property fully rent ready. Then you can make a decision on whether you want to, if everything's great, you go ahead. If something's horribly wrong, you can get it out of it without any risk. And in some cases, we have renegotiated pricing and got the deal for a lot of folks. After that, once you make that decision, we work with you hand in hand to facilitate the purchase. Then if there's any repairs, we have our contracting teams handle the renovations and keep you in the loop with pictures and videos and all those things. And then we turn it over to our property managers. That being said, when we turn it over to our property managers, you must keep in mind that our property managers, we've built their property management book to the tune of 95% of the houses they manage are from us. So even if you buy one little house over here and you're talking to the property manager and something happens that you are not so comfortable with, you can always call and count on us for support to help you get through it. You come with a lot of influence over the property managers when working with us. An important point, again, is you're buying for a fraction of the construction cost. To build these houses, you're looking at $100 to $135 a square foot. Now, you're buying, and you'll see in some of these houses, are 40% of that, 60% of that. That could be $50 a square foot, you'll see in some of the examples. Next slide, please. All right, this is just a quick overview of Metro Orlando. You can hit the next slide. I kind of went into this briefly. So we have 50 million visitors annually, thanks to our not only our tourist trade, but there's so much convention business here, second largest convention industry in the U.S. And this slide, I don't know why we don't change it, but it's UCF is the largest university in the U.S. right now. I graduated from there back when it was way smaller, but it is the largest university in the country right now, the whole USA. We have very strong landlord protection laws. They definitely favor the landlords. We're the top destination for second homes. A lot of people buy secondary homes in this area as well for retirement. And a lot of our interest is here is driven because we don't have any state income tax. So people moving from a lot of the other nearby states, you know, it's almost like getting a pay raise when you move down here. You get to keep more of your money. Next slide, please. And everybody is somewhat familiar with our attractions. Everybody thinks Mickey Mouse when they think Florida even, you know, much less Orlando. We've got all the theme parks, which everybody is familiar with. Next slide, please. And we also have a lot of employers, high-profile employers in the area that are nationally based, like Darden Restaurants, for instance, runs most of the large chain restaurants that from coast to coast. Federal Express has big hubs here. Siemens is there. Actually, one of their big headquarters is right across the street from UCF. And you'll find that UCF, being one of the biggest colleges, actually the biggest college in the U.S., you'd think college town. But what has happened around there is companies like Siemens, Northrop Grumman, a lot of military simulator contractors and a lot of military contracting happens right next to UCF. There's a whole set of low-rise office buildings in the area where a lot of that type of business is conducted. Lockheed Martin has a big presence here. So there, aside from the tourist industry, there's lots of other industries to support the economy here. Next slide, please. Okay, this is one of the first properties we'll get into. This is in a city called Oviedo, which is just north of the UCF area. This one was a great deal for this particular buyer. He got into this one at $145,000, and you'll see that the rent is this property is actually rented at $1,245 a month. It was a great deal for him. You can go to the next slide, please. It was a great deal for a number of reasons. It was in pretty decent shape, which you can see some of the pictures here. Next slide, please. Okay. Here is the purchase cost of $145. You can see the operating income of $822 a month after all the various expenses. One of the most important things on this particular property is that the actual value of this property today, he bought this about 7 months ago. The actual value of the property is about $175,000 today. So, you know, that's a great move on his part. He got a great property there in a very good area. Next slide, please. Okay. And this is a property that we sold fully, actually rented. It had a renter in it. It was fully repaired. For $72,000. It's a small 1,200 square foot 3-2 with a two-car garage. Next slide, please. You can see with $72,000 is what the purchase price was. The return on that after expenses was almost $500 a month. And then that's something that the buyer earned from day one because it was currently rented. Next slide. Okay, Tampa, we can go into some of the smaller areas. I did mention Brandon, which is not too far from the mouse there. There are other areas that we're getting into, which is definitely St. Petersburg, Clearwater, Oldsmar. We've done some properties in Oldsmar and Dunedin. And then, you know, basically, we again are just searching for pockets where we're finding good properties in safe areas with great economic drivers, so you'd have good stable tenancy. Next slide, please. Again, we follow the foreclosure heat map to figure out which is the which are the best areas for us to go into. Next slide, please. So some of the facts about Tampa is, you know, there's the home to several professional sports franchises. They wind up hosting a lot of big events there as well. What has built this economy in this area in a lot of ways is its proximity, I mean, historically, is its proximity to the Panama Canal. There's so much shipping that comes through that canal and hits, you know, that port, the ports in Tampa Bay, which once you have traffic like that, it brings in a lot of other activities. That travel infrastructure brings in a lot of other industries, and you get a most, you know, a very diverse seaport area, which brings in a lot of other diversity. The diversity is great for our economic drivers and jobs in the area. So there are some of the top beaches and lovely resorts. Clearwater Beach was actually voted the best beach in the U.S. About a year ago. Then they have their own theme parks, Busch Gardens, Seminole Hard Rock Cafe, Casino, and the Central Florida State Fairgrounds is there as well. University of South Florida is there. There's a number. There's actually in Orlando and Tampa, there's a slew of smaller colleges that really support the area's economics as well. Some of the employers are, you can see Rooms to Go, which is a big nationwide company. Publix, which is the Southeast U.S.'s kind of mid-level grocery store, is based in there. There is, you know, Busch Gardens, VTech Data, you know, a lot of companies that are based in that particular area that are nationwide. Next slide, please. And then a lot of our draws, you know, one of the biggest seaports in the U.S., in the eastern U.S., you'll see also our sports teams that we have there and a lot of other attractions. The MacDill Air Force Base is also a great draw for rentals and for stability in the area as well. Some of the properties we've got now, we're looking at Clayton right now. This is $125,000. It was a 1,600 square foot house. This was fully renovated at purchase. Next slide. You can see the level of the repairs for these. It was in really good shape, showed really well, and rented really quickly because of the choices that were made with the renovation. Next slide. Some more nice pictures of the property there. Next. Okay. Then you can see with that $125,000 cash purchase, it was about $800 a month of positive cash flow. Next, please. And we can talk more about financing, too, right towards the end. This is another one, Windhorst, which is not too far from there, about in the same area in Brandon. That one actually was bought with a tenant, so instant cash flow, and it was in great shape, needed no repairs. You can see $105,000 was the purchase price, and the operating income was just under $700 a month. Next slide, please. So just a quick recap. What we do, you can load those all up, is we identify the best properties with the highest yields and, of course, in areas that we stand behind. We provide easy-to-understand property and projected income profiles so you can make informed decisions. Then we, you know, work with you hand-in-hand to do that. We can help you secure financing. We have a couple of lenders that are doing Australian lenders who are buying in the U.S., so that's something we can talk about more one-on-one. We arrange the whole process, the home inspection, the home insurance, repair estimates through trusted independent vendors. Next line. We provide the required documents to the closing company, managing the closing and making sure all the I's get dotted and the T's gets crossed. Next slide. Next line. Then we transition the property over to the property managers. You know, we make sure that that transition is smooth so that even if there's tenants in the property, they understand where they're writing their next rent check to, makes the transition nice and smooth. Next slide, please. Again, our goal is to make it simple, hassle-free, and profitable. I don't know if we're doing a Q&A, but I just want to make myself available to anybody to talk about financing, talk about more details.
I don't see any questions right now, but I'm going to, while we're waiting, I'm going to look for Larry's slide.
Okay.
And see if we can find that. Whoops. Okay. Whoops.
I've got them, Kathy. If you can hear me, am I back on?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Should I just pass this over to you then?
Yeah. Well, I actually had to log on as Dimna, so I'm not sure how that works because you're logged on as her as well.
Okay. I'm not sure if I'm going to be able to. Here, I've got it. I found it. All right. There's that one, and I think it's just two slides or is it three? Yep, it's three. Okay. All right. Well, we do have some questions. So I'll bring these up while we're. One question is, do you have a link to your website? And absolutely. If you want any information on any of these teams, just reach out to us at Real Wealth Network, info@realwealthnetwork.com, and we will send you the information on Orlando and any other areas that you're interested in. So again, info@realwealthnetwork.com, and we'll send you like a one sheet that has pretty much a summary of everything you just saw, plus the contact information. It says, another question is, there seems to be a lot of crime in Tampa. We see on cops. Are these areas safe? Larry, either any of you can jump in on that one.
Yeah, you know, I'll talk on.
Yeah, go ahead.
I say, look, like any city, USA, or probably any city in the country or the world, as far as that goes, there's pockets of good areas and bad areas. So I wouldn't say that Tampa is any worse than anyone else. I mean, I just recently lived in that area. I moved to Bradenton there shortly. But, yeah, there's pockets of lower social economic areas that tend to have crime. But, yeah, if you watch cops enough, you'll see crime from all over the country. So, it's always do the diligence, like I was talking about. It's buying properties in the right locations. Just because they come up on the foreclosure market, they don't just necessarily go buy them. It's got to, you know, meet certain standards, and one of those standards, obviously, is to make sure it's in a decent area.
Great answer. Yeah, every city in the U.S. has crime, and lots of it. So you have to be in the right neighborhoods, and that is why you need your local expert. If you buy something online without a local expert, you really could get yourself in trouble.
I concur.
Yeah. What do you offer that is different than just hiring a local real estate agent?
Oh, absolutely. Our business is tailored to working with people who are out of state. Actually, that's all we do, is people who are out of state and overseas. And how that's different is that we have the teams, basically peace of mind is the whole name of the game. Every realtor you call in Florida, if they ask you if they specialize in overseas and out-of-state buyers, will say yes. We're lucky enough to have some time under our belt with Kathy and with the team, so they know we can back that up. But what the big difference is if you're dealing with people who have experience with that particular niche for the last, Gene's been doing this for this particular type of investment with overseas and out of state, specifically with Israel for quite some time, you will see that that experience can keep you out of a lot of trouble. And trouble equals money. And the more trouble you can avoid, the more money you can keep. And that's really what makes the difference between working with us and, any other realtor.
One step further beyond that is that most real estate agents don't understand investment property, even though they tell you they will. So if you're talking to a real estate agent, ask them if they own property. And if they do, ask them where and for the address, because very often they don't understand investment at all, but they see you as a dollar sign and see you as an opportunity to make some money and to sell you something and then be done with you. And if you have problems with that property, that's really not their problem. But you guys are here for the long haul, as are we, and we have worked together a long time, knowing that we're taking care of people. We're not just selling you something that will make us money so we can walk away. I mean, that's a big point, I think, too.
Yeah, and I too, and I'm sure Larry and everybody can attest to this, I do personally own properties in some of these areas that I plainly would not recommend to an overseas and foreign investor, just because they are more of a headache. I live here, I can deal with it, or at least that I know. I have a buddy named Vinny that can help me deal with it, if you want to put it that way. But when it comes to hassle-free properties that are going to get you stable cash flow, these are what we kind of hone our process to deliver for you. So that's really that's another facet of the difference.
And you know, another thing that agents will do if they don't specialize in investment properties, they'll try to sell you something that you don't really need or that's in a higher price range, because these cheaper properties don't really, there's not a lot of commission to them. So when I went, you know, initially starting out 10 years ago and being a Californian, just like being an Australian, all they see is the dollar sign. So I was taken to high price neighborhoods that didn't cash flow at all for that reason. So again, these guys really specialize in finding you the neighborhoods that have the highest cash flow with potentially the largest return. All right. Do you help set up proper structures to invest in asset protection? We don't personally, but we can certainly refer you to lots of people that our Australians have used and used successfully. And John Bone, of course, can do that too. Will there be a
absolutely, Kathy? I'll just jump in there on that. It is absolutely critical that people do structure correctly, and it's not only necessary for them to structure correctly, but it is also very important that people understand the tax ramifications of the way they structure, particularly if they're investing in self-managed super funds. So it's a very, very important issue. It's not something that can generally be discussed globally, because everybody's personal tax situation is different, and therefore the way they structure may be different. Because tax is a very big part of structuring, as well as asset protection. So it is very important. If people have got any questions, they should get in touch with me, and we can point them collectively. I think we can point them to the correct people to set up their structures and get it done properly.
Great. And John has been through this and done it and has just great information. So definitely reach out to him. All right, well, will there be a recording of this webinar? Yes, I'm recording it. I will figure out how to get it over to John, and hopefully it'll get uploaded. How do we reach you? I haven't been able to reach you. This is a great question, and I'm so glad it came up. We have heard from some people, they say, you know, you gave me the contact information, but I can't reach you. And the problem that seems to happen a lot is that our servers block each other. So sometimes you might reach out and try to send us an email or send one of our affiliates an email, and they never receive it. So if that ever happens, please call us or try through Facebook, try a different way, because it may be that the email went into your junk mail or that it was blocked, but don't just rely on email. Our office number is 925, area code, well, the USA numbers, and then area code 925-280-2830. Let us know if you don't hear back right away, because it probably is an email problem.
Can I just jump in there again too, Kathy?
Yeah.
What you said is absolutely correct. I've had a lot of trouble with my OptusNet email address and emails I send through my OptusNet server to a lot of different email addresses in the US, and it's for some reason Australian sites like OptusNet and Big Pond and others are whitelisted, because they're seen as being junk mail for some reason. And what you're saying is absolutely correct, that for some reason the mail's not getting through. If you're using Gmail, you generally find that you're going to be a little bit more successful. They just seem to basically send anything on, so it's not quite the same kind of problem. But certainly a lot of other email providers have problems with getting emails through to the US.
Yeah, absolutely. So another way to go about it is, if you're trying to reach us, or if you're having trouble reaching any of our affiliates, like this Orlando team, you can also go to realwealthnetwork.com, and there's a contact page, and just reach out from there, because that will get to us. And then hopefully we can work out once it does go through, it seems to go through once you kind of get it hooked up, right? I don't know how that works, but But eventually, once the servers and browsers see that we're emailing back and forth, then it accepts it. How do you get paid? This question is to figure out if you are likely to be around for the long term. Okay, great question. I'm glad this came up because a lot of people try to negotiate deals with property managers. I know, Al, you just had this situation where somebody was trying to get one of your property managers down to 6%. And I went back to that person and said, please don't negotiate such a low rate. The property manager's not going to be able to stay in business. You know, they can't even stay in business at 8%. So yes, the way that, you know, each team has a different way of making money. Al, in your guys' case, you charge a consultation fee, just like the Pittsburgh team does. Because the commissions on real estate on these little cheap houses it's just very, very low. And it's not enough to keep, this Orlando team able to serve you. So they do add on a very nominal consultation fee that helps oversee, you know, the sourcing of the property and the renovation of the property. Anything you'd add to that, Al? I don't know. We might have lost him. Okay. Is there areas or rules about not renting by the month, etc., or is renting for investment unregulated?
Okay.
Areas or rules about not renting by the month? I don't know. In Florida, I don't think so, right? You rent by the month? Yeah.
I don't know if fouls are or not. I can answer that probably fairly close. Does change, obviously, by municipality. But, yeah, there are restrictions in certain geographic pockets, if you will, within the cities. They all have their little boundaries. For example, there's areas on the water, you know, when he's talking the St. Petersburg area, that do allow monthly rentals. And then there's other areas that do not. So it's really, if that's what you're looking to do is some kind of a seasonal rental, you definitely want to check that out on a property-by-property basis to make sure that's allowed in that area.
Great. Okay, next question was
I think my mic is live now. I agree with that. And back to the other issue with the property management is we don't I actually spoke with that same buyer today, and he based on our discussions and your discussion with him, it kind of made sense to him what the property managers work for. And you'll also find, and he found, that our rates and the rates that we're presenting to people are very competitive. So, you know, things work out. And like I said, we work to kind of put our best foot forward and get you, you know, as efficient cash flow as we can. So basically that you would do it over and over again. But, that makes sense what you said there, Kathy.
Okay, good. How can Australians get financing? Well, I don't know, Al, if you can go over the terms. It's probably different for each person and each area. So I think the best thing would be to reach out. Yeah, just reach out to us, info@realwealthnetwork.com, info@realwealthnetwork.com, if you're interested in knowing about the financing that Al has the connections with.
Right.
Then he would set you up and you would try to get qualified and, you know, see what happens.
Yep. And we just real quick on that, is we have two lenders that we work with that do this particular type of lending. And that being said, you know, it is, I think, for the general Australian type of buyer, it may be more documentation than they're generally used to, just, you know, as a disclaimer up front. But at the end of the day, it's pretty well worth it. And it's not things that – it's not out of the ordinary. It's not what any kind of documentation that we are not accustomed to over here. But, you know, if you can get through that process, and there's a couple of lenders, they have different loan-to-value, different rates, and, you know, a lot of it depends on your history you know, a lot of it depends on if you like one over the other. So that's why we give you a choice of two. But if you reach out to Kathy through Real Wealth Network, then we can get those questions answered specifically for you.
Okay, great. And for the person who is having trouble reaching, I've got your name. I see it came up. So we're going to reach out to you, and that might unblock that problem. Okay, so Larry, here's a slide for you. I'm sure everybody's been looking at it, has already figured it out, but that's quite exciting. Look at, we're back in recovery.
Yes, this one's very self-explanatory, and since it's been on the screen for 10 minutes, but yeah, U.S. really has people literally from all over the world. I mean, we've got every country coming over here to invest in real estate. And bar none, the number one reason as a whole is the safety. People consider it a safe haven for the money. Mm-hmm. And I think this slide just really goes to elaborate on that.
Okay, we've got another one. Where'd it go? This one.
Again, and I think we kind of touched on this in the past as well, but as you can see, bottomed out builder confidence, home builder confidence, in about 2011, 2012, they started ramping up, and they are building homes. I mean, U.S. really has a need for more housing. We talked about all the pent-up. I read the other day that like 30-some percent of adults over the age of 25 are living at home with moms and dads or uncles or other people, if you will, and they're starting to move out on their own now. And there's just simply not enough housing to go around, not to mention the population growth that we have. So home building is definitely on the upswing, which is basically an indicator that the market is doing well.
Okay, and here's one more.
And this really goes to elaborate on what Al was talking about at the beginning of his infomercial. Mm-hmm. It's really quite interesting. If you look at this, this is comparing a $200,000 mortgage over the years, over the last 44 years. But if you look down at 2014, the average interest rate being 4.36%, a $200,000 mortgage is less than $1,000. If you look at 1980, when we had these high interest rates, it was over $2,000. And of course, you can look at all the different years, but we are basically cheaper to finance a $200,000 house right now, cheaper than we have in the last 44 years. I know as a foreigner, you might not be able to get these type of rates. Your rates will be higher, but they have been higher throughout the years as well. So it's all relative. But the buying power right now is making homes very, very affordable.
Very good. Okay, well, I think that's it on the questions, and we're at an hour. So.
Perfect.
Yeah. Thank you, everybody. Thank you, Al. Thank you, Larry.
Thank you, Kathy.
Thank you, Marcus.
Thanks, Al.
I don't know if he's still here. And thank you, John, for having us.
Yeah, and thank you very much, and thank you very much for taking over and recording it for me. I'll send you an email about what you need to do to send it to me.
All right, I'll try to figure it out.
All right.
All right, take care,
thanks,
everyone.
Thanks, everybody.
Have a great evening.
Good luck. Thank you. Bye.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.